From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Georgia's Governor Brian Kemp is expected any day now to sign a so-called fetal heartbeat bill into law. HB 481, which passed along party lines, would ban most abortions 6 weeks into a pregnancy, which is around the time when many women first discover that they are pregnant. Georgia joins a growing number of states, including Ohio, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Mississippi, in attempting to ban women's constitutional rights to control their own bodies. Legal challenges are likely to prevent the laws from taking effect, but anti-abortion activists hope that one of these state laws will make it all the way to the Supreme Court. My guest is Dennis Carter. He's a senior news editor for Rewire.news, where he oversees regional coverage and federal policy coverage. Welcome to the program, Denny.
Thank you for having me on.
So first, let's talk about Georgia, because that's the one that's made the most news, although, of course, other states have been in various stages of passing these bills for a while now. Georgia has attracted a lot of attention, maybe because Brian Kemp, of course, his position as governor is contentious, given how last year's election, governor's election, played out against Stacey Abrams. What exactly does HB 481 require if Kemp does sign it into law?
Yeah, I think one of the aspects of that bill that has been overlooked, and it's something at Rewire.news that we've covered pretty extensively, is that it contains what are called personhood provisions, and that basically changes the definition of what qualifies as a person with constitutional rights. Personhood is something that anti-choice activists and politicians have pushed for a long time on the state level. But this Georgia bill not only is a six-week ban, which amounts to a total abortion ban for many people who don't know they're pregnant at that point, but it also includes personhood language, which would give rights to a fetus. So it goes well beyond just the elimination of legal abortion for most people.
So I understand you're not necessarily a doctor, but at 6 weeks, what is a fetus? How far along is a pregnancy?
Yeah, no, I am not a doctor. I'm only a journalist. But from the interviews that we've done with doctors and with pro-choice activists, this is a point in pregnancy where many people are not aware that they're pregnant. And so for them, for someone who doesn't know that they are pregnant at that point, this law is an abortion ban. It's not, when I see headlines or media coverage that says, that refers to this just as an abortion ban, just like a 20-week ban or other bans that we've seen, it's something much more than that. And it's clearly unconstitutional, but that's kind of the point, right? The point is to pass an unconstitutional abortion ban to push it up the ladder, like you said, to get it to the Supreme Court.
So does Georgia's bill go further in terms of what you mentioned earlier with the personhood aspect than bills that have been passed in states like Ohio and bills that are being considered now? For example, Alabama is now considering such a bill. Is Georgia sort of does it go a step further?
I guess with the personhood element, yes, I would say it does. But these are all very similar pieces of legislation that you see passing in, Republican-dominated legislatures. Georgia is a little different because Democrats made pretty decent gains in the 2018 midterms in the Georgia legislature, meaning that Republicans didn't have the huge majorities that they've enjoyed for years in Georgia. And that's why you saw this bill pass, just barely, I believe, by one or two votes last week. But yeah, these are all very similar bills, and they are being passed at a time when President Trump is filling the judiciary with his judges. And so the hope is clearly there that this is the time to push through the most extreme bans on abortion that we've ever seen.
And George, I understand, attracted celebrity support for the right to abortion. There were some very creative protests that women engaged in, dressing up in the Handmaid's Tale style costumes. What has the activism been like around this bill?
Yeah, it's been very passionate on both ends, on the anti-choice and the pro-choice ends of the spectrum. But yeah, there has been a lot of pushback from pro-choice activists, especially women of color and reproductive rights groups that are run by women of color, pushing back on this because, you know, personhood provisions that we've seen take effect in other ways in other states primarily affect people of color, and this, you know, this is not lost on the activists in Georgia. And as you mentioned, you know, people in the film industry, some very big names that, you know, that we covered on Rewire.news have come out very publicly and said, if this bill passes and if the governor signs it, which he says he will, then we don't want to do business anymore in Georgia.
Among the celebrities were Alyssa Milano and Amy Schumer, Uzo Aduba, Ben Stiller, Sean Penn, Mia Farrow, and others. They've signed letters and more. I actually want to focus a little bit on the opposition within the Georgia state legislature. As you mentioned, Democrats made gains, probably in large part due to the very inspirational campaign of Stacey Abrams for governor last November. And Jen Jordan, who is a state senator, on the floor of the Senate, made an impassioned speech ahead of the vote on HB 481, where she really gave a personal view of how such a bill can impact women. And I want to just play a clip of her lengthy speech.
What gives this body the right to substitute its judgment of that of the entire medical community of this state? What gives this body the right to substitute its choices for those of the women who will no doubt bear the scars, the consequences, and who will face death, and now likely prison? Who gives this body the right to substitute its will to override the Constitution of the United States? Each of us took an oath to protect, to uphold the Constitution, to heed established constitutional law. This oath should mean something. Because without the rule of law, we have nothing. And let me be clear. If you shirk the most basic duties you have to protect the fundamental rights of women today, then no doubt the women of this state will reclaim their rights after they have claimed your seats. I yield the well.
And that is State Senator Jen Jordan warning Republicans that they could lose future elections if they were to pass this bill. And Denny, as you said, the bill passed very narrowly. One of the things that Jen Jordan referred to in that clip was the criminalization of women, how women could be facing prison. Can you expand on that a little bit? How could this Georgia bill, if Kemp signs it into law, criminalize pregnant women?
Its main goal, it seems to be to threaten people who seek abortion care and then those who provide abortion care for violating such a draconian law. And and as far as the election aspect goes, it's pretty clear that this will be a big election issue, but it also is clear that Republicans in Georgia don't really care that much about it as an election issue, because very few Republicans spoke up against this bill. So I imagine that almost all of them were fine with going ahead and passing it.
Now, this bill, as you mentioned, is, and we've talked about, is one of many across the country. It seems to me to be this now pretty standard approach by Republicans to have model bills or cookie cutter bills in state after state to try to push an agenda that they have failed to push federally through the federal government or through the federal legislature, through Congress. It seems like the kind of thing that the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, has pushed and has made popular among the right wing. So this is a clear strategy, right?
It is. And you know, Republican lawmakers on the state level especially are very open about why they're pushing these clearly unconstitutional pieces of legislation. It is to challenge Roe v. Wade. And for a long time, I think you saw them sort of hedge on that point, you know. But it's very clear that one of the Republicans in Alabama who supports their recently introduced 6-week ban came out and said it. Said this is to challenge Roe. We saw that in Iowa, where several GOP lawmakers said, this is our attempt to get rid of Roe as a constitutional precedent. So it's become very clear. And what we're seeing, I think, is a sort of bifurcation of between the states with abortion rights, where you have states like Illinois and New York that come to mind that are cementing abortion rights into their state law, as Republican-held states like Kentucky and Alabama and Georgia are making it so that abortion will be illegal if Roe falls. And that's a very disturbing trend for a lot of pro-choice activists.
Now, the idea of creating a personhood status for what's essentially fetal tissue is deal with this constitutional issue, right? Because although women have a constitutional right to an abortion, the approach, the strategy from the anti-abortion folks seems to be that, well, human beings have constitutional rights, so let's just turn fetal tissue into human beings. Of course, they never confer that right to, I don't know, sperm, right? Anytime it's a man's tissue involved, somehow that's not considered life, but as soon as it's a fertilized egg in a woman's body, that's considered life.
And you know, this is done through very carefully constructed pseudoscience, and it comes from very well-funded anti-choice organizations across the United States that push this pseudoscience and propaganda into the mainstream. And unfortunately, there's very little pushback, you know, from mainstream media outlets. And that's what we try to do at Rewire.News is to push back on that pseudoscience to say, you know, a fetal heartbeat does not mean that, you know, that massive tissue is a human being that should have full constitutional rights. You know, this is what the science actually says. And Mike Pence last year at the March for Life came out and said, science is on our side. And so this is a real belief on the anti-choice side. And it's driving legislation like this.
I mean, it's similar to the kind of pseudoscience that is often invoked in the debates around so-called late-term abortion, which is a wholly made-up term. It's not actually a thing that exists. And that's how and the anti-abortion folks are trying to limit abortion rights on the other side for the sort of later end of pregnancy. Let's also talk about how the anti-abortion folks are using the 14th Amendment as justification for giving personhood rights to fetal tissue. The 14th Amendment was basically a constitutional amendment that gave full rights, full equal rights to Black Americans, right?
Yeah, and it is now being used, you know, by conservative lawmakers to push an anti-choice agenda that, as I said earlier, has a huge impact on people of color. So it's being used. This argument is being used in total bad faith, you know, which we see all the time on the right in all forms of politics, including abortion politics. So once again, that's what we see here. And obviously, people really take that to heart. And quite a few people that we have interviewed at Rewired.News are deeply offended by the way that is used to push an anti-choice agenda.
A lot of folks sort of are seeing what's playing out in Georgia as such a great example of how important electoral politics are, right? I mean, some on the left have tended to undermine the importance of electoral politics. But were Stacey Abrams the governor today, you would have had a clear veto of such a bill and the constitutional right of women to abortion in Georgia at least protected.
That's right. And I think that, you know, really drove the enthusiasm behind her campaign in 2018 was the fact that for now, at least, Abrams could have served as a sort of backstop to these extreme laws that Republican lawmakers are bent on passing. And you know, this doesn't change from state to state. You know, this is pretty boilerplate stuff at this point for state level Republicans to push the most extreme sort of abortion ban. And I think that, you know, as far as electoral politics go, I think that you're going to continue to see these sort of laws play a big part in driving people to the polls.
Now, Kemp has until May 12th to sign the bill or to veto it. You don't expect him to do anything other than sign it, right?
He's been very enthusiastic about it throughout. The only scenario in which I think he would not sign it is if the business corporate pushback becomes so intense that it causes him to rethink. But I don't think that there's a good chance of that happening.
Is there any business and corporate pushback in Georgia against this bill?
Well, besides the film industry people who signed that letter, no, I don't think that there's any publicly any public corporate pushback, but you might see that in the days before the bill is signed, just like you saw in North Carolina when Republicans were pushing through their anti-transgender bathroom bill. You saw some corporate pushback, and so you might see that here. But Kemp is very much intent on signing this bill.
So let's talk about the legal challenges that these bills are likely to face. I mean, Georgia, I suppose legal challengers will wait until the bill is signed into law before filing a lawsuit. In other states, it's possible that there are already lawsuits filed. And that's essentially the path that these anti-abortion activists expect to take, right? They get these bills signed into law. The laws are challenged before they can take into effect, and they get appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, where they hope that newly installed Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh will cast the deciding vote in overturning Roe versus Wade.
Yes, that's exactly right. We are very, very likely going to see this Georgia bill, just like, you know, legislation that has been passed over the past few months regarding 6-week bans. We're going to see this one blocked, stopped from taking effect. That doesn't mean it's over. It just means that now it has entered, the judicial system, and we're going to see it possibly move up toward the Supreme Court. Whether the Supreme Court takes it or not remains to be seen. From judging from the cases that John Roberts has taken and not taken recently, It seems like he's not enthusiastic about taking on, you know, a bill, taking on a law that could strike down abortion rights completely in the United States.
And of course, poll after poll continues to show that women's right to an abortion remains popular throughout the United States, which really underscores the outsized influence that this very vocal minority of Americans has on politics, not just here in the U.S., but even around the world. Earlier on our program, earlier this week on our program, we discussed how some of these similar forces are funding right-wing anti-abortion organizations and misogynist and homophobic organizations in Europe. We, you know, also see the kinds of agenda that they tend to push alongside these fetal personhood bills. You don't see nearly enough concern about actual living human beings from some of these same people who claim they are pro-life. I mean, in Alabama, at the same time where the fetal heartbeat bill is being taken up, Alabama was hit by a report from the Justice Department about the horrendous and unconstitutional conditions in its prisons. And we don't see Republicans caring much about the rights of living human beings whose rights are being violated right now. It's just when their fetal tissue, they matter.
Yeah, and you see in these same states, you know, while they push clearly unconstitutional anti-choice laws, they're kicking people off of Medicaid and making it harder for people with low incomes to access any sort of health care. And, you know, this is happening at the same time. And so the whole pro-life term doesn't quite ring true in that aspect.
Where can people find out more about the work that you do, Denny, and read your writings?
Yeah, it's rewire.news. We have a whole team of reporters across the United States covering state legislatures. We really try to analyze what's happening as far as abortion law goes. So check it out, rewire.news.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much for joining us today, Denny.
All right, thank you.
My guest has been Dennis Carter, senior news editor for Rewire.news, where he oversees regional coverage and federal policy coverage. We've been discussing the so-called fetal heartbeat bills in Georgia and other states. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.